Master Drilling, a company which is in the business of delivering drilling technologies to the mining and construction sectors, among others, posted its interim financial results today. For the 6 months ended June, the company reported that its revenues rose by 3.8% to $70 million. The company reported that operating profit declined by 8.3% to $11.8 million, while its net cash position also reduced to $9.3 million. Headline earnings per share decreased to 5.4 cents, down 8.5% on the year prior. Despite the decline in these metrics this time round, the company, which has global market exposure, says it's well positioned to see a better second half of the year. Well, to break down what's happening behind the numbers, I'm joined on the line by Danny Pretorius. He's the CEO of Master Drilling. Thanks very much, Danny, for joining us. Apart from the revenue number, on the face of things, it looks as though the company didn't do so well on the profit front. What were the drivers of these numbers?
I think the one is certainly Canada, US. We were establishing the Canadian contracts, and we probably took about $1 million on the chin for the first 6 months up in that part of the world. The second one is the Ghana contract, Kinross. We have an overrun on that project, which, again, is just on $1 million. And then coming south to Kamua in the southern part of DRC, we started up the DRC project, and again, that came with some $300,000-$400,000 that went to the cost line. And then obviously, as you know, the local site for Sabania didn't do us a favor. And the last one, certainly the exchange site. So you add all that, then I think we had a pretty good run given the rest of the business.
So Danny, for the benefit of the listeners who don't know what you do, just give us a quick explainer about your technology. Are you a leader in the field and so on?
The race boring has been around for a long time. Typically a service, a hole we drill from the surface down to an underground excavation, hook up a reamer, which we call a reamer, and you ream back towards the surface or towards the machine, and thanks to gravity, all the chippings will fall to the knee, and that's then loaded or lashed out with, say, some LHD or some scooter.
So from a cost perspective, what was your experience in the period under review, and what other challenges did you have to deal with?
I think cost-wise, the rest of the group, if you exclude the cost items mentioned, I think the rest of the business on a GP line, I think we were okay, pretty much on par with last year. The rest of the issues facing the business, different countries, different regions, different issues. I think locally, as you probably know, we had the Sabania strike, which lasted for just 5 months.
Yes.
And again, that didn't do us a favor. If you look at South America, the Peruvian operation, we had to rebase the Peruvian operation. The machines, we were operating around 22 machines at a point last year, and we're down to about 40 machines today. So on the back of the zinc price and, again, the cycle. So we're basically rebasing that business. I think those are the real issues that we have in the business, apart from what I've mentioned already.
Yes. So one of the key sectors that you service globally is the mining sector. What have your observations been there in the various jurisdictions you operate in, and how much of an impact have these ongoing trade tensions had for the propensity for investment in commodities globally?
Look, as I said, I think the single one is the uncertainty. I think a lot of miners are sitting on their hands, awaiting some stability and surety. And I think, unlike 5-10 years ago, where balance sheets and cash was an issue, today I think the uncertainty in the world is probably the result why very little exploration is being done, and why we don't see as many juniors like 10 years ago.
So you do indicate that you're a global player. You're in lots of areas. I see you're in both Americas. You're involved in a number of African countries. You highlighted some of them, India and Scandinavia. Which are your standout markets in terms of, you know, the propensity for you to get project work, and where you still see further potential?
It used to be South America. I mean, we probably had about 70-80% of that market. And that dropped off about 8% if you look at the other numbers the last 6 months. And so South America used to be certainly was the darling in the business. If you look at the business today going forward, I like to think that the US, Canada, and Australia, maybe Scandinavia, Europe, could be one to watch, and maybe Russia for all we know.
So it does speak to this next question, but what was your CapEx like in the year under review, and where are you spending for growth?
The CapEx spent to date wasn't a lot. The CapEx was mainly as a result of the Tunnel Pro business, the acquisition we did last year. The mobile miner we built, that was part of the capex. We bought a directional drilling tool for the Zonda Einde project, which is due to start in Zonda Einde Northern. So that's mainly the capex spend under review. So not a lot of capex spend. Is currently a machine in the workshop, which is about to be completed. But that's about the capex for the first 6 months. And we don't foresee to spend that much, you know, the remainder of this period.
So you've indicated that you're cautiously optimistic about the future, that is the second half of your financial year. What informs that cautious optimism?
Look, we've been through a number of these cycles for the past 30-odd years that we've been around. And you would recall in 2011, where gold shot up to 2,000 and dropped down to 1,100 within 12, 14 months. So I think what I'm trying to say earlier and what I said in the media today earlier on was just that I think it would be irresponsible for a company like ourselves on the back of the high gold price and or platinum price and or nickel price to invest a lot of capital, and it might be of short term.
That was Danny Pretorius. He's the CEO at Master Drilling.